Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 217, all stanzas. Remember not, O God, and the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. 1-4 of Psalter 217. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the book of Exodus, the first chapter, Exodus chapter 1. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, and thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Exodus chapter 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, and let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies, and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Sifra, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives, and said unto them, why have ye done this thing, and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, and all-sufficient Lord, of the heavens and of the earth, thou givest us again in this morning a sufficient strength and health to come up unto thy house of prayer, to gather round thy holy and everlasting word. And it was the desire that we may sing so often of thy servant, one day in thy house of praise is better than a thousand days spent in the realms of earthly pleasure. Although only at thy door I wait, no tents of sin give joy so great. Oh, that it may also dwell in the hearts of many in our midst, in this morning hour, when we may be permitted, oh, that it may be felt in this morning, not to be a burden. By nature it is so, Lord, because we have no desire after thee, and our hearts, they cleave to everything that is in this world. And there is nothing within that is going out to the true and the living God. But when thou wilt begin with us, then how different shall it become in a moment. Oh, that it may be so, that the fruits of that new life may also be evident in the midst of us as a congregation, and that here and there may be such a holy longing as was in the heart of thy servant David, and that there may be a cry in this morning that may draw down the blessing of the holy God upon us in thy house of prayer. O, a people that have bowed their knees in their own secret chambers before that they have come to thy house of prayer. A people that have folded their hands when they have come into thy house to beseech of thee a blessing that they could not give unto themselves in this morning. Lord, we beseech it of thee, that thou may come then, and grant what we cannot give to ourselves, when there is in thee no form or comeliness, and that we should desire thee or the knowledge of thy ways. Thou art able to raise us from the dead, and to give us life and breath, and longing and desire and hunger and thirst. Thou art able to give, that our soul, that may as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so thirst after thee, the living God. Then it is the beginning of thy work, and then it shall also be accomplished, and then it shall be fulfilled, no matter what it has to pass through in this life. Look then upon each and every one of thy own, for it is a way wherein there are so many riddles, that they do not know their own hearts, and they do not know the next step wherein that thou leadest. There are so many fears, but thou dost say unto thy people, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? That thou may visit then thy own, where they may be fearing in this morning hour, that thou may take them by heart and by hand, and that thou would gather the little ones for a moment in this morning in thy bosom, and give them to feel something of thine everlasting arms underneath, and that thou carest for them, and that thou knowest of them, that thou art acquainted with all their ways, and that thou may lead further into the blessedness of the truth of thy holy word, that will be to the stripping of all that hope whereon they do rest in their own strength, in their own righteousness. Then it will not be easy for their flesh, but it will be so good for their soul. Lord, it is a perplexing way. It is for our flesh a disappointing way, but it is a way of truth, wherein thy spirit does lead into the depths of self-abasement, in order that a man may come to know the truth, that he may come to know the reality of his deep fall, and what he has done in Adam, his covenant head, and what he is within himself, from the crown of the head, to the sole of the foot, wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. His righteousness is all as filthy rags, in order that there may come a blessed place, or an empty place, a place that there may be room for a salvation that comes so from another side, that thou may make room for thy only begotten Son. Lord, he is so precious in the eyes of him that hath him. He is so dear unto those who have no strength, unto those who have no righteousness, unto those who must perish, unto those who have no answer before their judge. Then thou dost reveal him as the surety for their soul. He is precious to the sick. He is precious to the blind, to the dumb, to the deaf, to the lame. He is precious to those who in their own strength and from their own side must perish. That thou may so reveal him then in this morning, that thou may so give eyes to see him, a little light to behold, him in whom is everything, for the soul of those who are so destitute. Remember us, O Lord. To whom else can we go? Thou hast made a way in thy only begotten Son, and thou art able also to reveal that way by the power of thy Holy Spirit. And that is now our only hope and our only expectation. Shall we receive that great salvation? And shall we receive even a little part of that comfort that belongeth unto thy true people? Lord, come then. We are so dependent upon thee
And from our own side, it is all filth and all wretchedness. From our own side, it is nothing but rebellion. But Lord, convert us. Oh, bring us again into that place where all is lost, that we may find it all in Thee, remembered and each and every one of Thy own. Oh, take new ones. Bring them into Thy blessed kingdom. Open the poor blind eyes as we are traveling that broad road and that leads to a never-ending destruction. And it is but a short time. It is but a short life that we have here below. Oh, on that short journey, wilt Thou then awaken us? And wilt Thou cause us to be renewed? Remember all the afflictions that are born in the midst of the congregation, known and unknown unto us, all known unto Thee, each one bearing his own cross in this world. Lord, that Thou may uphold all that are afflicted and sick. Be with all the old and the ailing. When the frailties of the body, they are felt. And all those that are handicapped, all that blind, deaf, dumb, and lame, and all that have burdens and crosses, weakness of the body, weakness of the mind, oh, that Thou may give to bear our burdens with cheerfulness, and that Thou may keep us from complaining, and that Thou may cause us to see the vanity of this life, the shortness of the time, and that all these are but callings unto us, that we must set our house in order, for we must die and we will not live. Lord, look on us then, and all the afflictions that are endured among us, use them for the good of our souls, and wilt Thou teach us in that one thing that is needful. Look on all the children, the parents, and all the young people. Oh, take them also by heart and by hand. And wilt Thou look on all Thy truly sent servants in this day. Oh, that Thou may take away the wolves among the sheepfold of Thy flock over the length and breadth of this world, who do bring Thy word, not in sincerity and in truth, but who do twist the meaning of Thy word. O Lord, give to us wisdom. Give to us faithfulness. Give to us the knowledge of Thy truth in our own soul, that we may know it in order to be able to speak from the housetops what takes place in the inner chambers of Thy people. Look upon us in this morning hour. Oh, give us a little strength to be able to bring Thy word. And could it please Thee to use it? Oh, sanctify and bless it in the midst of us, that it may be for young and old, a word never to be forgotten, and that Thou may be in our midst as one that serveth, and forgive and keep us from all iniquity. For Jesus' sake, amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 102, stanzas 1 through 5. In Thy wrath and hot displeasure, chasten not Thy servant, Lord. Let Thy mercy without measure help and peace to me afford. 1 through 5 of Psalter 102. Congregation, the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." And that time that will come in the life of every one of God's elect in this time state, that is according to the good pleasure of the Lord, and it is according to the promise that He has given unto His only begotten Son. Thus a man will be awakened, as it were, from the dead. As the Lord Jesus said, "The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Did you ever hear that voice? That you also may begin to live. There is a great difference between death and life. And then when a man begins to live, then he begins to see, and he begins to hear, and to breathe, and to cry. And this we wish to begin to consider together with you in this morning hour out of the words of our text, which you can find in that portion that was read to you in Exodus 1, verse 12, the first part. Exodus 1, verse 12a. "But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew." So far the words of our text. The way of the Lord in the fulfillment of His promise. First, the promise given. And second, the promise tried. The way of the Lord in the fulfillment of His promise. First, the promise given. And second, the promise tried, all with the Lord's help. "But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew." To whom, congregation, does that refer? To whom does this concern? It refers to the children of Israel. They multiplied. That is not strange. And why is that not strange? Because it is according to the promise of the Lord. It is according to the promise of the Lord, and that He has given unto Abraham when He has called him from Ur of the Chaldees. We have heard something of this in the past. "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." And we read later, after that Abraham was separated from his nephew Lot, that the Lord has again promised him the land. "Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." But all of the circumstances that come in the life of Abraham, they do not coincide seemingly with that promise that the Lord has given unto him, because he becomes old and he has no child. Therefore, we hear Abram, he is going unto the Lord. Do you do that too? With your questions and with your riddles? That he says, Lord, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? Because, he says, behold, thou hast given me no seed, and lo, one born in mine house is mine heir. He does not understand it. And the Lord confirms to him, we heard that, his own word, that this shall not be thine heir. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Time and time again, the Lord is returning unto his servant. And what do we read now? That Abram, he may believe it. And Abram believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And then how is that, people of the Lord? When you may be given sometimes to believe, and when the times and the seasons go over it, and when you look upon it once again, because it is in the trial of this faith that Abram, he takes into his own bosom Hagar. When he is 86 years old, thinking that now he needs in some way to help the Lord to fulfill this promise. And then for 13 years, Abram really thinks, he really believes that the Lord did need this help, as it were, and that this Ishmael, the fruit of his own hands, that this Ishmael is now the fulfillment of this promise of the Lord. Until that the Lord comes again, when he is 99 years old, and then the Lord grants unto him a sign of his covenant, and the Lord, he gives to him circumcision, and then we read he renews again that promise. And I will make thy seed exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. But he says, it shall not be through Ishmael, no, and Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. So after 25 years, Abram has two sons. He did not see so much of the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord in his life. And yet, this promise concerning his seed that is renewed to him, we know again at the offering of Isaac. That promise is renewed once again to Isaac himself later. That promise is renewed once again to Jacob when Jacob is lying at Bethel. And when the Lord directs Jacob again that he may descend down into that land of Egypt, once again, the Lord is speaking of this promise. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will surely bring thee up again. And now what do we read? And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. What was this? This was the beginning of the fulfillment of this promise of the Lord. You say that is ordinary. No, that is not so ordinary. Because it was Jacob that went down to the land of Israel, and Jacob went down to the land of Israel with 70 souls, we read. That was 65 years after that first son was born. And it is only a matter of approximately 200 years. And we read that the children of Israel are approximately 1 million persons. That is 600,000 men beside women and children. And there are those in the world, they say it is impossible. But that is the reaction of the natural and the unbelieving man, that he says it is impossible. It is evident one thing, that is, it is the fulfillment of the Lord. Upon his own word, upon his own promise. Because it will be a multitude innumerable. It will be a multitude that man will not be able to number, that the Lord is going to bring in, that will magnify him forever and forever. Will we with our children be now among this multitude? We read here, they multiplied and grew. Thus the Lord ratifies, as it were, his own promise. And Moses, he sets apart this multiplication of the children of Israel from the ordinary procreation of man. Thus he is multiplying his statements. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Thus, Moses draws a particular attention to the faithfulness of the Lord in the fulfillment of his own promise, and that in a very, very extraordinary way. My covenant, the Lord says, I will not break. Neither will I alter that thing that has gone out of my mouth. But the devil will not be silent. We see that in our second thought, the promise tried. Now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. He did not know him. He did not know him to acknowledge him. And there was no affection in his heart for that man. Thus, times in this world change, the seasons do change, and man is changing. And that place that is at one time our satisfaction, that at another time is becoming the place of our affliction. And the very persons that are being used by the Lord to satisfy and to relieve, they are at another time being used by the Lord to oppress. Thus must man never place his trust in the instruments wherewith the Lord is leading him providing for him because, man, he is all fickleness. What a great ingratitude this was unto Joseph. How quickly have the generations of the Egyptians forgotten the great deeds of Joseph that have been worked by him as an instrument in the hand of the mighty God. How quickly have they forgotten the lives that have been saved? How quickly have they forgotten how that Joseph has brought in all that revenue unto the king himself? But ingratitude is, congregation, a very, very common thing. We read about Gideon. When you read that history, then you cannot believe also how quickly that Gideon was forgotten. And we must always be ready to receive the hatred, the evil, for the kindness that we give unto our neighbor. That is often the lot of the church because they follow in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how did he receive the ingratitude of that Jewish people? How is it possible that people are standing at that moment, him whom they have sought that he may heal all of their sick? He has given them bread from above in their hunger, and they have cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said unto his people, "Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass when there falleth out any war that they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land." Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. Satan, he is the avowed enemy of that true church of the Lord. And it is the purpose of Satan to overthrow the kingdom of God. That shall never be. But he tries to prevent the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord. And what was that promise of the Lord? The Lord had promised, and he had confirmed that promise very often in the lives of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, we heard, concerning the multiplication of that seed. And thus, Satan so very directly is attacking that promise of the Lord. But it is not only this promise, but that promise goes further back. That goes even to the first promise that the Lord has given unto our first parents. Because Paul, he says, and it is not concerning the his seed as in the multitude of his children, but in his seed that is one, which is Christ. And thus we see how that Satan has fought to prevent the coming of Christ for the salvation of his church even from the beginning. Was there not an Esau who desired to slay his brother Jacob? Does not Pharaoh here desire to put away the children of Israel? Will not Herod later seek to destroy the child? Will not the children of Israel, they cry out against the Lord Jesus, and will he not be condemned also by that Roman governor? Oh, the devil, he is not displeased with the procreation of the wicked. But he is displeased when the number of God's children, they are multiplying. But in a very special way, he would prevent the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the rage of that prince of darkness does not know any bounds. The instruments which he uses, they are so many. And the devices which he uses, they are so very subtle. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you, because the servant is not above his master, and the disciple is not above his Lord. Thus Satan is always busy, that he may come against the promise of the Lord to be fulfilled in the life of his children. With what does Satan move Pharaoh? He moves him with a groundless fear of a perceived danger. He perceives this in his mind, and it is a danger which he need not fear. But what does Solomon say? He says, the wicked flee when no man pursues. Thus Pharaoh, he fears a rebellion. And he looks about him and he sees the strength of the children of Israel. And he sees that how that in a very, very special way, this people, they are multiplying. That is not the same with his own people. Laban, he may see the blessing, the special blessing of the Lord upon Jacob. And Laban, in his heart, was jealous, but he was also angry with envy against Jacob. And now we see also the same among the Egyptians and with their head. Because the blessing of the Lord that is resting on these children of Israel, and the blessing of the Lord that is arousing the enmity of this enemy. That was also with Cain. And then in his heart, the envy and the hatred against his brother was aroused due to the blessing of the Lord upon his brother. And we can see that also when the apostles have gone out into the world after they were sent by the Lord Jesus, and that there were multitudes, they are coming to listen, and how that the enmity of the scribes and of the Pharisees that is increasing when they see how that the Lord is giving his blessing upon the preaching of the apostles. Thus there is an enmity that is coming against the true church because on account of the blessing that they are receiving from the Lord. But let that church never despise the blessings of the Lord, because they bring upon them the enmity both of the world and of the church. Because that enmity that is an affliction which the Lord is laying upon his people. And when the Lord did not deem it necessary to lay that affliction on his people, then that affliction would not be there. Thus, Egypt, that was a very bountiful place. That was a place where the children of Israel had it so very good. And we can read of the leeks and the onions and the cucumbers and the melons and the fish, that they may enjoy in that land of Israel. Thus it was that they may partake of all of the bounties of the land, all that the enemy may enjoy. That was the portion of the children of Israel in the outward prosperity that they may receive from the hand of the Lord in those years that they may live among the Egyptians. But congregation, Egypt is not their home. And when we read of the children of Israel that they have gone into captivity, and there they were in the midst of their enemies, and that there were those who never came back with Israel to Jerusalem. How is it now in this land of Egypt? Or if the Lord does not make a change in this, how is it that he will bring those children of Israel, how is it that he will draw those children of Israel, as it were, out of this land of Egypt? Because they are satisfied to dwell there. They have everything there that their heart could wish. Thus, it is not just that enemy, but there is the hand of the Lord that is necessary that he may save his people. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. That is not the hand of the enemy. That is the hand of the Lord, to set taskmasters over the children of Israel. And now, what we see here happening in that land of Egypt, that is a blessed picture of what the Lord is doing in the life of his children. We must, the Lord Jesus said, be born again. And how then is the Lord beginning? The Lord is beginning by setting taskmasters over his children, over his elect, that they may be afflicted, as it were, with their burdens. The law that becomes to his church a taskmaster. And that law that is such a very hard taskmaster, that is not giving them any room to go to the right or to the left. That does not give them any room to fulfill their own will. But they have to do that will and that law of that taskmaster. And when there is no obedience, then there are stripes. And not only so, but there is a burden. Because the sin and the world, they are becoming a burden unto the people, as they are living now in the land of Egypt, as they are living amongst all of their enemies. Because in some way, it is necessary for the Lord to loosen his church from the world. In some way, it is necessary for the Lord to make that world a burden for his people. And thus it is in the hand, it is the hand of the Lord to give that enemy by times room in the life of his church, Satan himself.
that he may afflict them with their burdens, that he may come with his temptations, and that he may come with his accusations, and that he may make their life heavy. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Pharaoh would like to bring them to nothing. He would like to diminish their numbers. He would like to diminish their strength. But the hand of the Lord, that is stronger than Pharaoh's. And they are the people of the Lord. And there is the decree of the Lord. And there is a promise from the Lord to his people. And there is no way that that promise, despite every enemy, will not be fulfilled. Those that take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, they imagine what, children? They imagine a vain thing. And therefore, that church that ought to take courage and be patient in their tribulations, because Satan will not prevail. It is the opposite. It is often under those very afflictions that the church is growing. Do we not see that in the lives of the apostles? In the persecutions when they are spread over the world? Do we not see that later in the early church, that the more that they are afflicted, that the more that they grew? And how that God's word that was spread over the entire world through the affliction of that church. But it is not only the numbers of that people that do prosper, but it is also grace. It is also grace within the heart of the people that is so prospering. Because worldly prosperity is drawing away from the Lord. And there are means that the Lord is using to give a man to know himself, to give a man to see the vanity of this entire world, to give a man to feel his need for the Lord. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Was that not so? Was that not so? The grace in the life, in the heart of a Hannah, all the more that she was afflicted, the more that she grew. Because the closer and closer that she came unto the Lord. Do we not see that in the life of David? Oh, how many of the Psalms of David would now be missing out of the Scriptures had David not been chased as a partridge upon the mountains? How many lessons are not learned in the afflictions in the life of God's children? But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. The more that they grew, the more incensed the Egyptians become against Israel. Their hearts, they are hardened, and their eyes, they are closed to see the blessing wherewith the Lord, the living God, is blessing his own people. But when that violence and that open outrage is producing nothing, then Pharaoh, we read, he resorts to a secret plotting. The devil, he comes not only as a roaring lion, but he comes sometimes so very quietly in the form of a serpent, and then so very deceitful, just like Haman. He is secretly plotting against that Jewish people with the king
And now this Pharaoh, he calls some of their own people. They are the Hebrew midwives. And he gives them a command. And he says, now you must kill. When those children are born, the little boys, when it is a little boy, and that is in your hands, or you must in some way, perhaps in a deceitful way, as if that a child that is born dead, or you must kill all of those little boys. The girls, they may live. They will be incorporated into the Egyptian nation. In Revelation, we read of that great red dragon. He was ready to devour that young child as soon as he was born. And so we can read of Pharaoh. And so we can read of Herod that they show themselves to be as that great dragon. Satan does not know bounds. And when he will try to bring all of his purposes to pass, and those that are in the hands of Satan, they also do not know bounds. They do not know bounds. Nor when they will enter even within the wombs of the mothers, and they will rip the children out. Then where are the bounds that are set by the Lord himself? Man left over to himself, but the fear of God is in the heart of these midwives. And the fear of God does not suffer those midwives to obey this command of Pharaoh. It is at the expense of their life. But rather obey God than man. Or is that with us too, in the midst of this world? Or it was their very life. It is not often our life. No, it is but for us maybe a shame. It is but for us maybe that we have to have a sour look. And we are not even ready to follow the demands of the Lord. And it is not only the midwives. But we read that those Hebrew women, the Lord gives to those Hebrew women a very special strength that they are able to bear very quickly and very easily, that they are born even before that those Hebrew midwives come in unto them. And thus God deals well with the midwives and with his people. And it came to pass because the midwives feared God, and that he made them houses. That means that he gave them a posterity. And not only the midwives, but also the children of Israel. And so the people multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. But let us sing. Psalter 253. 1, 2, 3, 6, and 7. O Lord, thou judge of all the earth, to whom all vengeance doth belong, arise, and show thy glory forth, requite the proud, condemn the wrong. 1, 2, 3, 6, and 7 of 253. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. From whence, congregation, doth the multiplication of children come? That is, from the Lord. Lo, Solomon says, the children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb, that is his reward. Today that is seen so different. Then children, they are a burden, because they stand in the way that we shall have sufficient, that we have a nice house or a nice car and all the things. And then we cannot have that ease of life that we desire. And thus, all of the inventions of man to put them away, to prevent their coming into being, and to destroy them after they have come into being. Wickedness, for which we will have to give an account. The Lord said unto Noah, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And that was not only to Noah, but it was through him unto all his creatures. And the Lord, he has promised a seed unto Abram, we read, as the stars of heaven for multitude. Why? Because children are an heritage of the Lord. No, we do not bring forth children for our own sakes. We do not bring forth children for our own pleasure. But the Lord is he who gives children. Why? Because the Father has given a promise unto Christ. And what was the promise that the Father gave to Christ? That was of a seed which should serve him. And thus that seed must be born. And therefore the Lord is giving children. And Satan will fight against this, but he shall not prevail. Shall our children also be part of that multitude? Then we should not expect for them a life of ease in this world. Because how does it go in the life of that people? How is that promise that the Lord has given to his son of that seed that shall serve him? How is now that promise fulfilled? Well, the Lord is increasing his people in the furnace of affliction. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And the Lord gave a certain reprieve unto the children of Israel by way of the midwives. But Satan is not finished fighting. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Thus it was the Lord himself that permitted Pharaoh also to take this step. And here we have an oppression that is greater than any oppression that Israel has ever known. And there is an oppression which seems to fight, to militate against all the promises of the Lord. That all the promises of the Lord and the confirmations of that promise, they should come to naught. They would be nothing, and that the devil, he would receive the victory, and that the people are doomed to destruction. The power of that enemy that is so very great in the life of his people. This is not just a light matter. No, the children of Israel, they have no power against this great company that is coming against them. Do you also know that same way, people of the Lord? And now, as Israel in Egypt, so it is with God's elect in the midst of this world. That it is by nature that they are enjoying all the leeks and the cucumbers and the melons and all the entertainments and everything that that world has to offer. Because the Lord does not find his people searching and seeking after him with a will that desires the true and the living God. Nobody finds them when they are lying polluted in their own blood. And therefore it is necessary that the Lord is putting weight upon that clock. That the Lord is allowing that they should have to serve with a bitter and a hard bondage. Oh, did the service of this world ever become to us such a bitter and a hard bondage? How different then that is from before, don't you think so too, boys and girls? When we love to live in this world and when we love all the enjoyments, young people, in this world, now for all this to be turned about and for this whole world to become to us a burden and a sorrow, then you say, what a different life. So it was with the children of Israel when they were in that land of Egypt. Why? Because the Lord Jesus, he says, we cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and mammon. It is either the one or it is the other. And if we will enter in through that straight gate, then it is necessary that a man is taken off from that broad way. Do you think he is just going to leave it? Do you think you can convince him to leave it? We will never convince you. We cannot convince ourselves. No man is not as they say today, that he just needs a little bit to be reformed. No, he needs the mighty hand of God. Ye must be born again. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. The enemy cannot comprehend it. It is against all the natural laws. There is something they see that preserves the children of Israel. There is some higher hand. And they do nothing but rebel against that higher hand. Satan knows it. What did he say about Job? He said, hast thou not put a hedge about him and about his house and about everything that he has? All Satan knew. He could not touch him if the Lord did not permit. And yet, all the devices of Satan, all the assaults of Satan, they are against that people to make their life bitter with hard bondage. Oh, the enemy cannot understand it, but now that people also cannot understand it. The children of Israel cannot understand it. That is not a way according to the flesh of the people. It is not according to the choice of the children of Israel. No. Oh, yes, they want to grow. But they do not want to be afflicted. And they cannot understand how that affliction could be for their growth. Is it not just the opposite? When you will throw all the little boys into the river, will that nation grow? No, they cannot understand it. They say, Lord, this goes the wrong way. But the way that the Lord is leading his children is a way that so very often that people are not able to understand. It seems that the Lord is leading everything only to my destruction. It leads to devastation. It is no easy matter to wean that people from the world. It is no easy matter to wean them from their false expectations, from all their false hopes. But it is necessary in order to deliver them. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. The church congregation is going to be saved by a wonder. By a wonder, the Lord is going to receive the honor, and all the enemies are going to be destroyed. And in the meantime, the church goes in a way of perplexity. Is that your way too? Can you not understand why that it goes the way it does? Does it all go the wrong way? Does it go the way of death? Does it go the way of destruction? Is that your burden? Is that your trial? Does the enemy receive so much power that you have no might to fight the power of that enemy? Your way is not strange. You think that you walk a peculiar way, but it is not a peculiar way, because all the seed of Abraham, they have walked in that same way. And so has the entire church of God of all ages. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. No, the church cannot understand it. And neither does the church agree with it. But it is the narrow way. And that is a narrow way that is leading unto life. The way the Lord is leading his church, that he may deliver them and that he may receive all the honor. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, remember thy own, who also go this way. For thou knowest all their fears, their riddles, the perplexities. Oh, wilt thou comfort them a little on the way and give them open eyes that they may see thy hand. And could it please thee to deliver them in thy mercy and in thy time, bring us all on that way. Lord, we will fight against it with heart and flesh, everything we have. But it is the only way, a necessary way. And it is only the strength of thy hand that is able to overcome us or become too strong for us. Be with us in the rest of this day. Help us in preaching. And also those that must lead here in the reading, wilt thou supply and grant thy indispensable blessing. Forgive and take away all that is sinful. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our last psalter is 240, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. The Lord, the God of my salvation, day and night I cry to thee. Let my prayer now find acceptance in thy mercy. Answer me. 1, 2, and 4 of 240.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.